Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
.848 on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer. 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, my friends, we got Michelle Malkin coming up at 9 o'clock. So I want to take as many calls as possible, just very quickly. So the New York's new governor, Governor Hochul, now has let the cat out of the bag. Faced now with a 20% staff firing. They're going to fire 20% of staff workers that work in New York's hospital system or their nursing home system. You don't take the job. They're out by Monday, 5 p.m. Eastern. They will all be fired. She said, we have a plan to replace them with foreign workers. Nurses, doctors, healthcare professionals, nursing home people, all of them, they will replace them with either migrants, illegals, refugees, whatever. That Biden is already teeing up the visas to hand them out like they're candy. Now, I just want to ask you this. Is this how you treat your fellow Americans? You threaten them with this jab. They don't comply. You fire them. You destroy them. And then you replace them with foreigners? Probably at half the pay? At reduced wages? At much lower wages? Like, this is how you treat your fellow citizens? I'm sorry, it's disgusting. It's wrong. It's immoral. Hell, it's... Don't ever tell me the Democrats are the party of the working person again. I never want to hear, oh, the Democrats are the party of the working man, the party of the working woman. No, they're not. And they've got a massive pool of foreign labor now to replace potentially all of us with this vaccine mandate. Now, here's my prediction, okay? The more this is exposed, the more people rise up and speak out, it's going to collapse. We're going to win. We're going to win. But it's we got to start speaking out. I mean, you have to. You just have to say enough is enough. No. Defiance. No. We will not comply. Period. Full stop. 617-266-6868. But I mean, that woman's got ice. She's got ice in her veins, man. That governor. That's no heart, no soul, no feeling whatsoever. I'll fire all of you, and you know what? I'll replace you with foreigners. Blank you. Ay, ay, ay. Okay, very quickly, I want to read this and then go to the blazing phone lines. Jeff, let me ask you something. Does the commander-in-chief, Joe Biden, have a medical degree or a medical license? No. How about the new governor of New York? No. Then how can mandating a jab, which is a forced prescription of a medical treatment, not be practicing medicine without a license? Which, by the way, is a felony. I'm dead serious about this. I know you are, and you're 1,000% correct. It's medical malpractice. They're forcing a medical prescription on people against their will, and you don't have a freaking license. I mean, there's so many ways to sue them. Now, that's why I'm urging people. I know it's very hard. I understand. Do not resign. Do not quit. Force them to fire you, because then you will have the mother of all lawsuits. 617-266-6868. Elizabeth in Scituate. Thanks for holding, Elizabeth, and welcome. Elizabeth? Let's try to reconnect with Elizabeth. Josh in Billerica. Thanks for holding, Josh, and welcome.
Hey, Kuna man, thank you for everything you do. First of all, I would like to start out with a quote from our great forefather, Benjamin Franklin. And he said, to us that give up our safety for freedom deserve neither. Now, right after that, I hear Joe Biden, he also said, this is not about our freedom, but about our safety. That's one of the things I wanted to say. The other thing I wanted to say is, this is coming right out of the playbook of Pinocchio. I don't know if you remember, if you've seen Pinocchio, but when they go into the carnival, they all come in, everything looks great, the lights are bright, everything's good, and then they lock them in, and they all turn into what? Donkeys. Democrats. It's insanity. I just wanted to bring that up to your attention.
Well, you know, Josh, you're completely right. And, you know, I just want to ask you, what's your sense of things on the ground, Josh? From everyone I'm talking to, from everything I'm reading, I'm looking at all these polls, all across the country, this regime is, the house is burning down. I mean, they're collapsing on all fronts. And you even now have a civil war in the Democratic Party. I've been following this whole thing about the funding for the Iron Dome. And now you got Ilhan Omar blasting moderate Democrats blasting the squad. They're at each other's throats. Biden has to call him in for meetings to try to make the peace, and he can't. And now he's off again on another long weekend, and his party is, they're at each other's throats. The party is crumbling. His agenda is disintegrating. You've got mass resistance developing everywhere. Josh, is it me, or are we witnessing now a presidency and a regime in free fall? Oh, we lost Josh. Okay. Well, let me ask you. I mean, look, I'll bet you that a large chunk of that 20% that they're going to fire in New York, I bet many of them are Democrats. But what I'm saying is, they're alienating a lot of their own base now with this. And by the way, I want to go to Elizabeth. Black Lives Matter again now has come out, and they're threatening a major uprising. And they're calling these vaccine mandates, quote unquote, racist, and we will not stand for it. Now they're, by the way, Biden's numbers with the African American community has dropped massively in the last 2 weeks. So among the black community, the minority community, resistance is now growing as well. I mean, I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is a political disaster. Half of me almost says, keep going, because you'll be down to zero. But the other half, and this is where I'm going to lean, obviously, is, hey, we got to save people's jobs, their careers, and their freedoms. But he is making a mess that I've never seen anyone make a mess. We've got Elizabeth back. Elizabeth in Scituate. Thanks for holding, Elizabeth, and welcome.
Yeah, no problem. I'm completely flabbergasted. I have no words. You know, I don't understand. My husband's a state trooper, and now you're looking at close to 400 troopers ready to walk off the job for the forced jab.
Elizabeth, what do you now make of their threat that they can replace your husband with a foreign worker? A nurse with a foreign worker? A doctor with a foreign worker?
Yeah, sick to my stomach. I mean, I cannot believe the state of this, just the place that we're at as a state, as a country. I don't understand it. I wake up every day with a clear head and I try to just go about my business, and I can't. It's all consuming, and I can't even imagine what will happen if these foreign workers replace our police, our doctors, our teachers, our nurses. I mean, this is the collapse of the U.S. It's the start.
Elizabeth, to me, the $64,000 question, and I want to get your take on this because you obviously seem, A, very intelligent and well-informed. Do you think this is deliberate, or do you think this is just sheer incompetence? That you have a demented fool in the White House, you know, these 20-somethings in a staff. They just really don't know what they're doing. It's the gang that can't shoot straight. Or do you think there's darker, deeper forces at play, and this is all being deliberately done?
I think it's being deliberately done. I think that this plan was put in place years and years ago. I think that they are laughing and yucking it up in the Biden administration because their plan is starting to come to fruition. And, you know, I truly think that this was what they wanted.
Elizabeth, how does this thing end? What's your sense? Do you think in the end, out honestly, of the rubble, we will emerge triumphant? Or are we looking potentially now at the last days of the Roman Empire?
I really think that there's going to be a civil war. And I've been saying this for months. I truly believe that one by one, states will start to secede from the Union. And we will no longer be the United States of America. It will disperse into different countries, different states banding together. And I mean, I may sound like a lunatic when I say this right now, but my family in general, we have been stockpiling cash, stockpiling ammunition. Our passports are ready to go. Like everything, we have a package, and if needed, we are ready to up and go in the middle of the night. And while I may sound extreme, I don't trust anything, and I want to protect my family and know that we will get out if we have to.
Elizabeth, you're not extreme. You don't sound extreme, because I'm telling you there are tens and tens of millions of people who feel exactly like you. And I know you're not advocating civil war. In fact, the exact opposite. You're just saying you're afraid of violence, correct?
I am. I am not advocating for that at all. But I mean, you asked me, is this part of the plan? There is no coincidence that just, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago, when Biden told the IRS to start paying attention to anyone that withdraws more than $600, because he knows that people are starting to stockpile cash. He knows that people are withdrawing their money, and he might not know. Let's be honest. He doesn't have a clue. His administration knows. And so they want to keep tabs on those of us that are taking the precautions. And it starts with anything more than $600 out of the bank. They're tracking majorly, you know, how much ammunition you're buying. And again, I am not advocating for violence, but you need to protect yourself and your family.
Elizabeth, phenomenal call. Phenomenal call. Elizabeth, please give my best to your husband. Tell him I said thank you for his service. I hope to see you on Sunday. Great. What'd I tell you, huh? Huh? Best audience in the business. Okay, do we have Michelle? Yeah, okay, great. All right, so joining us now, as she always does at this time, best-selling author, nationally syndicated columnist, Michelle Malkin. You can read all of her work, michellemalkin.com, michellemalkin.com. You're worried about the border crisis? You want to find out exactly what's happening? I'm urging all of you, check out her latest column. It is a wall banger of a column. She lays it all out there. Michelle, how are you?
I'm still fighting, Jeff. Still here.
Still standing, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Michelle, look, I mean, usually I ask you for your opinion on other issues, and we get to your column. Your column now is the big issue, the border crisis. So now the administration has admitted they're going to be releasing, or have released, thousands and thousands of Haitian migrants into the country. We have surrendered the border, and they're going after the poor Border Patrol agent on horseback, saying that he was whipping these poor Haitians and that this was a form of slavery, and almost like the slave hunters used to do it. What say you, Michelle?
Well, I want to tackle the demonization of our Border Patrol and DHS rank and file officers and ICE agents. It is an issue that I reported on extensively over the last 30 years, really, but also devoted a huge amount of my investigative resources and attention to in the book that I wrote in 2019, Open Borders Incorporated. And we've seen time and time again the operatives in the open borders media lie and spread propaganda that puts our Border Patrol agents at even more risk than they submit to every single day. And it's clear that these warped images of our Border Patrol agents on horseback were deliberately manipulated to foment agitation against border enforcement. And now, of course, those Border Patrol agents are on administrative leave, and the Biden administration is going to forbid Border Patrol agents from riding on horseback. And in the meantime, what we have, of course, now are these Haitians on planes, many of them that we subsidize as taxpayers, using their flights to assault our ICE agents. What is this going to lead to? Well, it's going to lead to retirement attrition, and many, many of our best veterans of these agencies quitting. And that's exactly the manufactured crisis. That's exactly the outcome that these traitors and these America last operatives desire. So my column goes into detail about the many, many years in which this particular so-called crisis with the Haitians has been brewing. This is not some sort of accident, and it's not some sort of artifact of the latest earthquake in Haiti or the political turmoil or the assassinations of Haitian leaders. In fact, many of these economic illegal aliens and invaders have been lying in wait in other countries where they were perfectly fine. Many of these Haitians had moved 10 years ago to Panama and Brazil and Chile and were simply waiting it out for the ripe conditions that Biden created, the same ones that existed under Obama, where these people know that as soon as they touch foot in this country, they are home free.
You know, Michelle, just to bounce off what you were saying, I think you laid it out beautifully. There's stories now from the Border Patrol saying that many of these Haitian migrants, you mentioned Chile, have been in Chile for 10 years. So it's not like they're, you know, suffering from a recent earthquake in Haiti or the political turmoil. They've been sitting in Chile for 10 years. You mentioned Panama. You mentioned Brazil. Now, you kind of answered my question, or at least anticipated my next question. You know, Michelle, I got to ask you, you look at it's a surrender. It's complete chaos. They're pouring across the border now. We've got about 2 million that have entered already. Many of them infected with the coronavirus, other diseases. We don't even know who these people are. Some could be terrorists, God knows, criminals, murderers, rapists. Is this simply a reflection of the sheer incompetence of this regime? You have a senile old fool as the president. You have these 20-something millennials or whatever, 30-something millennials, these wokesters who just have no clue how to run a country. Or is there something more deliberate, sinister, and nefarious going on behind the scenes?
Well, I believe it's the latter. And I think that the incompetence and the wokeness certainly add to the toxic brew of open borders manufactured crises. You have many of the same players that have been around for the last 30 years that I've been covering these issues, and that's everyone from the globalist elites and the United Nations, the International Organization of Migration, which act as Sherpas, helpers, travel agents, essentially, for both the refugees, like the ones from Afghanistan, hundreds of thousands of them, who poured into this country over the summer and over the last month. You've got the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. You've got all of these multinational corporations. And then all of the militant, multi-culti, anti-American sovereignty organizations. Again, many of them that are not only subsidized by U.S. tax dollars, but are also tax exempt and nonprofit, many of them operating as so-called faith-based NGOs. And so if you want to point the finger, yes, point it at the swamp, point it at Joe Biden, point it at the left, but it's also many of these community organizations that operate as contractors to bring these people in, to provide them with toiletries and all sorts of subsidies and housing. And again, just like we talked about with the Afghan refugees, Jeff, the bottom line here is, aren't people here suffering enough? Don't we already have a housing crisis and homelessness and 10 million people who are not working? There's plenty of people here. There's no labor shortage, which is, of course, what all of these big open borders corporations are going to claim. We've got plenty of diversity, which is always the argument of these open borders propagandists for bringing in every last foreigner into this country. And yes, I am somebody who's parents came here legally from the Philippines in 1970 and lived the American dream, but we're destroying the American dream for all the people who are already here. Enough!
Michelle, if I can just get to the essence of it, and you're laying it out really, I mean, you're just laying it all out. At its fundamental core, what is their ultimate goal? I know it's for a Democratic majority, a one-party regime, but is this really a form of demographic, cultural, historical replacement? Is the goal ultimately to turn America into a third world nation? Is that the ultimate goal?
Yes, it is absolutely the ultimate goal of the entire racket of Open Borders Incorporated to destroy the historic American nation and to replace the historic demographic in this country, which is, yes, the descendants of the founding fathers, who happen to be, yes, white. And I have said this for many years now. I've been in trouble for saying it. I've been attacked by Soros operatives, and I've been the subject of many campaigns to try and deplatform me and to shush me out of polite society, not just by the left, but by Con Inc. and the open borders operatives on the right, among the Republicans as well. Now more and more people are saying it out loud, Jeff, and I just hope and pray that it's not too late.
Is it too late, in your view?
No. I can't give up. And I think that the fact that we're still able to talk about it, the fact that I'm still able to publish my syndicated column after almost 30 years and spread the word and try to enlighten as many people as possible, the fact that there is now increasing resistance in many local communities, awareness about both the refugee racket and about who's really responsible and who's funding Open Borders Inc. I think after all these years, I still have not given up hope. And you know what? You know, it was a surprise when Donald Trump was able to win the White House. He was able to do as much as he could. There's much more work to be done. And I think especially among the next generation of America Firsters, I do have hope.
Amen. America first now, America first forever. Michelle, spectacular column. I urge everyone, go to michellemalkin.com to read it. Michelle, keep up the fight. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk next week.
You too, my friend. God bless.
God bless you, Michelle. Okay, a lot more to come. Your reaction next. .918 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 if you want to be part of the show. Okay, my friends, so today is Judgment Day. We're going to be discussing this, obviously, on Monday when the report officially comes out. But here is now the absolute latest. The Arizona audit report will be officially released today at 1 p.m. And apparently criminal evidence is going to be referred to Arizona's Attorney General, Mark Brnovich. So we're going to, I'll read the entire report. I promise. I'm going to give you all of the findings. But was the election stolen in Arizona? What did the audit find? And will they decertify the results? It's a massive, monumental story, and it's going to be released at 1 p.m. today. 617-266-6868 is the number. Let's go to Rob in Boston. Thanks for holding, Rob, and welcome.
Good morning, Jeff. Hi, thanks for the break. I had to take a Biden and wipe my Fauci, so give me a little time. hey, listen, so my wife's a nurse, and, you know, she got her notice, time to go. So her and a bunch of other nurses are leaving. More nurses are leaving than staying. Excuse me. Even ones that have been vaccinated are leaving because the other ones have to leave. So they've been protesting and doing this and doing that. But there's a couple of things I wanted to touch base on. She works in an assisted living facility that's like almost like a rehabilitation place for people who have strokes and break their hips and whatever else it may be. And they've been going through, since the vaccine came out and vaccinating people. And she has witnessed more people get sepsis and die right after the vaccine. Then it's unbelievable. Every day it seems like she's coming home. She's like, another one. They vaccinated, another one's down. And now they're all vaccinated, so you don't really hear much of it. But, man, when that stuff first came out, it was like every time she came home from work, she's like, yeah, I lost one of my favorite patients today. Got vaccinated 2 days ago, went sepsis and died. So there's that.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Now, my wife and I both had COVID back in January. And, she had it a little worse than I did. It was basically like a sinus infection for her. For me, it was kind of in and out in a day. So we both feel we have antibodies. To prove it, my wife had gone to a gathering with about 15 to 20 other nurses that she works with. Out of that whole group, about five were not vaccinated, my wife being one of them. At least two-thirds of those women that were at that gathering got COVID at that gathering, and guess which ones didn't get it? The ones that weren't vaccinated and already had COVID.
So this is more anecdotal evidence to support what all these published studies have been saying. That natural immunity is much stronger than artificial, whatever, semi-immunity you get from these jabs.
Just happened, this party. My wife was had COVID back in January. So, I mean, look how long, the antibodies are lasting. Mm-hmm. And she got tested recently, and her antibodies are through the roof. And her doctor's like, why would you get vaccinated?
That's a brilliant point. Rob, go ahead, Rob, please. I'm sorry. I meant to cut you off. Please, go ahead.
It's follow up. So her and a bunch of other nurses are filing a class action lawsuit against the facility that they're working at.
Good for them.
And we will be there on Sunday with bells on. I make sure to wear clothes, not just bells. But we will be there on Monday. On Sunday.
Rob, can I ask you something, though, just to go back to something you said earlier. By the way, this is a phenomenal, incredibly informative call. But Rob, to go back, I'm just curious. You said that even some of the jabbed nurses, they're also leaving and quitting. Now, why? Because, I mean, their job is not threatened, so why?
So because they're learning more and more about the vaccine. When the vaccine first came out, most of the ones that were vaccinated were really doing it because they had elder parents at home or whatever it may be, and they kind of just drank the Kool-Aid in the beginning. But now they're really kind of seeing all the parts and pieces of all this come together. You know, nurses are very bright people. You know, I mean, they are I watched my wife go through nursing school, and, you know, she's in the living at 45 years old, you know, in the living room, you know, 7-8 hours a day studying. So, you know, these women are well informed, very, very smart, and the male nurses as well. And it is really some of the things that they are discovering. I mean, we actually sit down almost every Sunday at our house with a group of people. You know, it's almost like a little protest group that is forming and getting bigger every Sunday. And we just, you know, I serve food. We sit around. We discuss it. And, you know, and Jeff, I'm not a guy that I ever thought would go to a, like, that's not me. I'm not that kind of guy, you know, so, but this stuff's real. And the stories that my wife is telling me from her work, they're real. You know, and my mom, she got vaccinated and had a stroke. This was last year, had a stroke 2 days later.
Oh, so, I'm sorry to hear that.
You know, and yeah, and never recovered. So, you know, I mean, this hits home for me. I have a very rare illness that I can't get vaccinated. And, you know, I'm dreading my company saying, hey, everybody's got to get vaccinated. I could probably get some sort of a letter from my doctor. More than likely, I know I can. But it's concerning, and it's all based on lies. And I don't know if you saw what has recently come out from that the guy that defected from China. And talking about how it was spread at the military parade.
That's right. Yeah, it was deliberately spread, according to him, at a military parade several months before they then released it into the world. I mean, this is really sick stuff. Rob, I look forward to seeing you and your wife at the rally. God bless you. Look, that's why he's complete. I cannot tell you how many stories I've heard from nurses, from medical professionals, from doctors. Jeff, adverse reaction after adverse reaction, whether it's someone dying from it, a stroke, a heart attack, brain damage, paralysis. Now, again, I've known many people who've had it, no problem. It's a minority, but still, you know, 15,000, 16,000 have died, according to VAERS, over what, 700,000 adverse reactions? And we know those numbers are low. Because many people don't even report them. And the media continues to lie to us and tell us it's perfectly safe. And now you want to force people to take it against their will? No way. No way. More to come next. .9:30 on the great WRKO, Jeff Cooner, Boston's Bulldozer, 617-266-6868 is the number. Okay, we're going to continue to take your calls, but first, joining us now, the president, CEO, co-founder of Kelly Financial Services, Kelly, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. I'm doing great. My kids are doing great, and so is Kelly Financial. As third quarter comes to a close, all of us at Kelly Financial have been forging ahead daily. We've been working very hard this summer, preparing brand new content and fine-tuning our service offering to help guide our clients through these extraordinary times. Over the next several weeks, we will be providing new information on long-term care and how we can help. For the majority of us, the question isn't if we will need long-term care, but when we will need it. 7 in 10 Americans who reach age 65 will require long-term care at some point. I don't offer that statistic to make anyone discouraged or frightened, but to make you determined to make your long-term care plans now. We have a brand new consumer guide, hot off the press. It's called Are You Looking Forward to Retirement, But What If You Need Long-Term Care? I encourage everyone to be proactive. Our advisors are here to help. Call us or go to our website at kellyfinancial.org. Schedule an appointment. Jeff, we got a great show lined up tomorrow. I know you'll be chatting with John Boudreaux. And I want to thank you for last Sunday. We had a great time celebrating Ava's 9th birthday.
And we all went horseback riding, right, Kelly? We all went horseback riding, and we weren't whipping anybody with those reins, right, Kelly?
No. Diamond was my horse, and I loved him.
Kelly,
Jeff,
I look.
You can count on me. I will be at the Freedom Rally Sunday.
Oh, I look forward to seeing you, Kelly. God bless you. We have been talking with Kelly Kelly, president, CEO, co-founder of Kelly Financial Services. Go retire with them. Call now, 888-800-1881, or go to Kelly Financial, kellyfinancial.org. Okay, my friends, 617-266-6868 is the number. Very quickly. So now they're going to bring in foreign workers to replace, whether it's nurses, doctors, police officers, firefighters, teachers, private sector employees, I guess me, others who refuse to take the jab. Well, listen now to this. Now they want to dishonorably discharge anyone from the military who refuses to take the mandatory coronavirus vaccine. So, according now to multiple media reports, the Biden administration, the White House, has now issued a statement. There is apparently a bipartisan defense bill, and in that bipartisan defense bill, there is a provision in it, which, by the way, every Democrat, every Republican, on the Armed Services Committee agreed to, which is if any member of the military, because now they're going to mandate the vaccine for everyone in the military, no exceptions, no exemptions. So according to this provision, if a member of the military doesn't want to take the vaccine, then they will be honorably discharged. They're kicked out of the military, but there won't be a black mark on their record. The Biden regime now says they want to get rid of that provision, that they're going to scrap it. They want it taken out, and they want it replaced with, listen to this, that if you do not take the jab, then you will be dishonorably discharged. According to the statement released by the Biden regime, listen now to this. They say that this provision would, quote, detract from readiness and limit a commander's options for enforcing good order and discipline when a service member fails to obey a lawful order to receive a vaccination. Congressman Mark Green, he is basically the author of this provision, is thunderstruck. He cannot believe it, and responded right away saying that the president of the United States, Biden, is trying to strip out his amendment, preventing anything but an honorable discharge for service members who refuse to get the COVID-19 vaccine. An amendment, listen to this, so common sense that, in caps, every Democrat on the House Armed Services Committee agreed to it. And his point is, any discharge other than the honorable discharge denotes a failure to serve the United States to the best of one's ability. And according to Congressman Green, and he's completely right, once that goes on your record, that you were dishonorably discharged, it impacts you for the rest of your life. Your future employment, you want to get a job, maybe you want to work in the government again, whatever it may be, it is a career killer. It will destroy your career because you've been dishonorably discharged. In other words, you've either committed a crime, you've done drugs, you've engaged in unlawful behavior. And he says, think about this. Men and women put their lives on the line to serve, and we want to destroy their lives and their careers? with a dishonorable discharge just for making a personal medical decision? So now here's what they want to do. They want to blackmail everyone in the military to take the jab. And if you don't take the jab, not only are you out, but you're out with a dishonorable discharge. So good luck trying to work as a security guard. Good luck trying to work as a police officer. I don't know, good luck trying to get a loan from a bank. Good luck trying to get a loan to buy a home or a mortgage or whatever. That is going to haunt them for the rest of their lives. This is punitive. This is vicious. And for what?
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Because they don't want to take that stupid experimental jab? So if it makes any of you feel any better, it's not just that he want to fire all of us. Now they want to go after every single member of our military and destroy them, dishonor them, ruin them, because they don't want to take it either. That's our so-called commander-in-chief. 617-266-6868. So let me throw that log on the fire. I want to ask all of you, should a member of the military who refuses to take the experimental jab, should that person face and have a dishonorable discharge? Should it ruin their entire career and their entire life? I say this is insane. What do you say? Captain Bob in Marblehead, thanks for holding, Captain Bob, and welcome.
Jeff, they're already starting to do it. I sent you an email yesterday. We've got 27 Air Force officers resign their commission. And because and he gave very good reasons. Look at where he's 20. First of all, he's 29 years old. He had to pass incredibly strict physical conditioning to be a pilot. And he said, I'm not risking a shot of COVID-15 and becoming sick from it. So they've already started to doing that. When the Navy commanding officers bring their ships in and basically saying, look it, I'm not putting my crew in jeopardy, and just parks the ship at the nearest Navy base. I mean, then you're going to know we're in big trouble with this thing. And it may take that. And as a matter of fact, what you said earlier in the program about you were using the example of the Afghans not taking the incentive to protect their own country, I would say that's a blueprint for us. It's certainly for the veterans like myself in the active duty side as well. And the reserve side. But I mean, if that's what it's going to take, and if you resign your commission, that should not count against you. I mean, they could administratively discharge you as opposed to dishonorably discharge you. But that may be the straw that breaks the camel's back, because if enough of us do it, that's going to say something.
Captain Bob, before I let you go, I'm getting a lot of texts from people saying, if you also are dishonorably discharged, you can never own a firearm again. You can never get a license, correct?
Yep. There's big things against dishonorably discharged veterans.
It'll disarm the vets then, right? It's a way to disarm them.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, you can take it up. You can do a class action suit. But they have to have a reason. I mean, you have to be court-martialed to that extent that they would put that on your record. And you can fight it. I mean, it'll cost some money, but if you do a class action suit, if they try to pull that off, you know, there's a lot of veteran organizations, VFW, American Legion, that certainly will stand up for the vets. So they should.
Good. Captain Bob, thank you for the call, and more importantly, thank you for your service. God bless you, sir. Oh, no. Look at these people. He's not a dictator? He's not behaving like a freaking dictator? So if they go through with this, if they try to go through on this threat, and I'm telling you they will, then I hope all of them give them a political, legal war like they've never seen. More with your calls next. .948 on the great WRKO. Jeff Cooner, Boston's bulldozer. Wilma in Worcester. Thanks for holding, Wilma, and welcome.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
I'm a retired nurse, 40 years working in and out of Boston hospitals. And I'm telling you that hospitals, even before the deadline, are always scrambling for staff. And I heard a particular note of desperation in that New York governor I've heard in many hospital leaders when they're short on staff. Also, the specialty units are going to be particularly hard hit because you just can't move people in and out of ERs, ICUs, neonatal units, neuro units. You just can't do it. I don't know how they expect foreign workers to do it, except in Massachusetts, there's only one law that they have to staff the ICUs. So what they'll do is they'll shift staff to the ICUs to obey the law if they can and short other areas. Now, they're already beginning to advertise the help across the eastern border on travel nurse agencies. And the going rate, and it very well could go up, is $6,000 to $10,500 per week, working 4 to 5, 12-hour shifts a week. So they've started to prepare, but very late in the game. And this includes New York, Boston, New Jersey, as well as the West Coast. They're doing the same thing. The other issue, which I think would be a real concern to the New York governor and also our governor, is the racial component. When they say healthcare workers, they're not just talking nurses. They're talking ancillary staff that support in the hospital. That's going to be a lot of minority workers. And I think they're not looking forward to bad optics of firing a lot of minorities who are particularly hesitant to take this vaccine. And finally, where is the nursing union in all this, bringing these foreign workers?
You're right. Now, Wilma, you're how? Yeah, Wilma, honestly, boom, boom, boom. Three great points. Wilma, I want to ask you this for the audience out there. The way Governor Hochul makes it seem, like this moonbat New York governor, hey, it's like turning on a switch or turning it off. Hey, Wilma, you don't want to take the jab. We'll fire you or place you with a foreign worker. First of all, are there enough foreign workers who can do these jobs? Where are they going to get them from? And can these nurses just be replaced like this? Is it just like, you know, plug out one, plug out A, plug in B? Does it work just that? Is it that easy?
Absolutely not. We spend years honing our craft. You know, I mean, many nurses are in this for a lifetime, and they spend years honing their craft. They're highly skilled, highly educated, and you just cannot replace them tit for tat like that. And here's inside baseball for you. You know what? You watch when hospitals go on strike. You know what they're waiting to do? They're waiting to see if they can get their specialty unit staffed before they tell people hit the streets. And some of that inability to get those units staffed have stopped strikes. And, you know, that's just inside baseball, neither here nor there. But that's what they're going to face when they're going into this.
Wilma.
And
I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. Please, go ahead.
I just wanted to throw out the name of a lawyer, Lauren Bradford. She is organizing the class action suits. If there are nurses out there who are listening to this, go to Facebook, look up Lauren Bradford. I believe her site is named Lawyers Against Mandate Exemption Help. And I just want to add one more thing. I'm sorry, Jeff. I'm in a monopolizing the whole conversation.
No, you're doing great. Honestly, Wilma, you're doing great. I have a big question I want to ask you, but please go ahead.
Shoot. Oh, okay. Oh. I'll add one more thing.
Yes.
I have read the HR material coming out of the Massachusetts executive branch that they're handing down to their people. And when you say that you want to keep your job, you'll take the vaccine, you are actually saying that you will accept all boosters coming down the pike. So even the vaccinated people have got money on the line here.
Wow.
They're giving away it all to keep their job.
Wow. Okay.
This is the future.
Oh, Wilma, this is incredibly informative. Look, you're obviously tremendous experience. You know what you're talking about. It's obvious. I don't want to put words in your mouth. If they pull the trigger on this mandate and they start firing God knows how many workers, healthcare professionals, nurses, will we face a healthcare crisis?
I think the most vulnerable will be the institutions that deal with the elderly and the rehab. I do think there will be an issue. I mean, frankly, I could be facing surgery soon, and I'm going to have to think about whether or not I would do that under these circumstances. Certainly, if they're flooding hospitals with foreign workers, I mean, you cannot bring someone in who's not familiar with the culture and the language and throw them into a high-tech situation. Does this make sense to anyone? It certainly doesn't. And to do so is reckless, absolutely reckless.
Wilma, please don't be a stranger. Call again. Great call. 617. That's what I'm trying to tell everybody. You think, oh, I got the jab, I'm good. No. Even if you're fully vaccinated and you love the jab and you believe in the jab, it's all going to affect you anyway. It's going to affect all of us. That's why these mandates are so wrong, so insane, and so irresponsible. 617-266-6868. Tommy in West Virginia. Thanks for holding, Tommy, and welcome.
None of your callers have used two words which describes what's going on in New York with regards to firing healthcare people. Union busting. Am I right or am I wrong?
Oh, that's a great point. That's a great point.
No, and you know something? One of your previous callers brought up the nurses' union. Where are the unions? I happen to be a union member. I had 36-year whole career. A good union member does not cross a picket line. And I cannot believe this. These so-called progressives, need I remind you, it was an electrician in Poland, Lech Walesa, that stood up to the communists in Eastern Europe. Remember him?
Yes, yeah, the trade unionist. You're completely
solidarity.
Right. Hey, Tommy, very quickly, Tommy, they're going to replace him with foreign workers. These are, nurses, healthcare people who can't speak proper English. How are they going to communicate with patients? I mean, have you ever heard anything more insane in your life?
Yes, it was actually called a coal strike in Matewan, West Virginia, 100 years ago, of where they replaced American coal miners with Italians and, African Americans. The Italians and the African Americans honored the strike.
Tommy, what a way to end the show. Thank you so much for that call. Okay, this Sunday, 1 p.m. in front of the State House. Soon, they will hear from us. Bye-bye.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino.
Chumba.
That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.